Well, good morning. This is a great day to be alive. And if you do, I'm going to say them. The first one is, I have decided I no longer want to be an adult. If anyone needs me, I'll be in my blanket fort coloring pictures. Second one, I hate it when people see me at the Wasega Beach Food Bank and they're like, hey, what are you doing here? To which I want to reply, oh, I don't know. I guess I'm hunting elephants. And finally, if we're not meant to have a midnight snack, why then is there a light on, that comes on when we open the fridge? Thank you. Just to get your morning started. Okay, we want to go into the announcements, and we're going to start again with the Envisage Walkathon. And just a reminder, if you want to be a part of that, all the information is on the screen. And I know that you'll have a great time and enjoying walking as part of that program. Also, now with other announcements, I want to wish a very happy belated birthday to all of us here at the church. Last Sunday, we celebrated 22 years as a church. And so happy birthday to all of you. Now, some other announcements before we get to the actual birthdays. Samaritan's Purse, the boxes, we have some boxes already here at the church. If you need one, come in and get them. Also, to let you know, if you have any questions about Samaritan's Purse, Carl Dulk is our coordinator here at the church, and you can give him a call. Also, I want to announce that the ladies met this past week, and Sheila White and Sue Bage are going to be the new ladies group co-leaders, and their first meeting will be on Wednesday, October the 14th at 10 in the morning. For this upcoming week, don't forget we're back into our midweek program and Thursday night here at 7 o'clock at the church as we continue our study together, and you're always invited, and we've certainly been having a great time together. Also want to let you know that we're going to be doing a startup here at the church in person. That's Thanksgiving Sunday. We'll start resuming services in church here. We will still have the YouTubes, but they will not be live. They will be in place while we have our services. Of course, we will give you all the update on protocol procedures, and everything will be ready so that people can be safe when we start on October the 11th. Now, speaking of our church and needs, I'm going to ask if Sheila White would come up. Sheila is our assistant treasurer, and she has some updates for you.
Thank you, Pastor. Hi, everyone, and I would love to sincerely thank all of you, who are so faithful with your tithes and offerings during this difficult time. Our givings to date are 50% lower than this time last year, and with winter approaching, the costs of our facilities will increase dramatically. At this time last year, our givings were over $123,600, and this year we have $64,500. And we also have almost $20,000 coming through wage subsidy from our government. We ask now that you seek God's guidance and cheerfully give what you can. If you need assistance to get your tithes into the church, please let me know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sheila. Appreciate that update. Now let's turn to our birthdays and anniversaries for this upcoming week, and we want to wish Zen Cunningham a happy birthday for the 20th. And Doreen, we want to wish you a very happy birthday for the 23rd. And of course, Kathy, your birthday on the 25th, I trust will be a great day for you. We have a couple of anniversaries. I want to wish Bob and Viv a very happy anniversary for the 25th of September. And Paul and Rhonda Van Genep have their anniversary on the 26th. And now I'd like to move over to our prayer and praise notes. We have a number of notes for prayer. First of all, just a reminder that Shauna needs a stair lift and a walk-in bath, especially for Brian. And so would you continue to pray that March of Dimes will help her in that venue? Also, Brian is having a hard time with depression. And really, that's a norm for many people. And so this is a stressful time. And so we really, as you hear of people, we really need to pray for them. Also, Monica has got a very painful sciatic in her hip and her leg. Barb Reynolds, sciatic as well. And Crystal, her sister, her eyes have not improved, and so she's asking for continued prayer for her sister. So let's take time and let's just pray together and ask the Lord to touch these folks. Father, as we have our service and praise and prayer time together, as we reminded of your faithfulness to us all, you're an amazing God. You're doing amazing things. And sometimes, Lord, we can be overwhelmed because of loneliness or because of pain. There could be other issues in our homes or stresses with our families and the isolation and the inability to travel and be with friends and family are sometimes so overwhelming. But Lord, specifically, we want to pray for those who have very real pain issues. And so we lift up Barb and we lift up Monica. We lift up Crystal's sister to you as well. And we ask, oh God, that you would really touch these women in a very personal and a very powerful way. We also pray for Brian and others like him that are fighting issues of depression. And Lord, may your spirit bring peace to people's minds. Bring a song, bring a scripture, bring a friend. And for all of us, maybe we're having a sense to phone someone. Let's do that this week and be a blessing to someone else. And also, as Shauna has said, there's frustration in waiting, even though she's in this new home, for things that are so necessary for the well-being of her family. And Father, for all of us, we are in limbo in many ways, and we again look to you to continue to supervise world operations. Our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. But as King Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 20, our eyes are on you, Lord, and that is where we are this day. And so bless our time together. May the music that we hear and may all the things that transpire over these next few moments be a real blessing to each one. And so as Kathy and Rick Anderson are going to now sing for us, we pray that you'll bless them at this time. And we thank you in your powerful name. Amen.
I'd like to sing Amazing Grace for you this morning. And then Rick will join me to sing Seek Ye First. Possess within the veil. forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And now Rick and I will sing Seek Ye First.
Kathy and Rick, thank you very much. Beautiful. We really enjoyed that. I want to talk to you today based on the title of Who God Is, I Am Who I Am. And I want to reiterate again what we were starting to talk about last week on the life of Moses. And you might recall that we said that after 40 years of tending his father-in-law's sheep in the land of Midian, that there was a burning bush. And so Moses thought, wow, this is really unusual. And he went over to see what was going on. And of course, God began to speak to him out of that bush. And just to reiterate, there was an error last week, but Midian is approximately 600 kilometers from Egypt. And so Moses was there from the time he was 40 until this particular incident we want to talk about, when he was 80 years of age. And so we have in Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 6, the following. And God speaking, of course, to Moses as he looks at this burning bush. And God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that he may bring my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you. This shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Well, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And God said, Say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now, what is God actually saying to Moses? He's really saying, Moses, I'm in charge of your life and the lives of all the inhabitants of the earth. I've been in charge of your life from the time of your conception. Moses would not have understood all the stress, as we talked about last week, of being born as a babe who, as a boy, should have been killed. I mean, God, in essence, was saying to Moses, Moses, you don't understand even these 40 years from the time you killed that Egyptian and fled to this country. These past 40 years, I've been preparing you to lead 2.6 million people out of a land of bondage and through this wilderness. You know every inch of this because I've prepared it. I have directed you. And then you will take them to their homeland that I prepared for them. And that preparation occurred hundreds of years previously to your life, Moses. And so we don't know everything that God said to Moses, but get an understanding. God knew Moses intimately, and God knows you and I intimately. So my question this morning is, who's in charge of your life? Are you in charge of your life? Or is the great I am in charge of who you are and what you are? And who is he? Well, we understand him as our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father who reinstated us back into his family through Jesus Christ, who took away the filth and unholiness of our sins so that we could have a relationship with this great I am who I am. Now, it's interesting that when it comes to sin and the filth of sin, and sometimes we don't fully appreciate what we have, David said something very profound in Psalm 51 in talking about the reality of the sin and the filth of sin and the desire to want to be cleansed from sin. He understood that only Yahweh could do it. Because in Psalm 51, he says, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom and in the secret heart. So purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David writing long before the Savior of the world came onto the world scene. And then at the point where God actually acted, and John records it in this way, For God so loved the world that he gave his only, of course, begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. As what? As he forgave all of us of our sin and washed that filth away. Paul says it to the church in Corinth in his first letter to the Corinthians. And such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Jesus has removed our sin and he's cleaned us up. David could only imagine. Again, God knowing us intimately. In his letter, later on in the letter in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So the question is, who are you? Do you belong to God or don't you? And if you belong to God and you've known the reality as a Christ follower and been forgiven of your sins and been cleansed from that filth, I want to remind you again of three things. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we need to reflect back on what we know because it's very easy to take things for granted. And so I want to stress three ideas to you today. The first is that you want to be able to see God again for who he is. He's known us from the time that we were conceived in our mother's womb. But this is what David says about God. Who is he? Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and of your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. I tell you, do those words remind you of something in the New Testament? I'd suggest you read Hebrews chapter 1. Who is God? Number two, I think we need to see God again for how he interacts with us. When you think back on Moses, it was very much a distant relationship. It was not personal. It was not internal. God was not in him. God is in us now. And men like David and Moses, in trying to express what it meant to have a relationship with the living God. And David, again, I love David for how he's so expressive. In Psalm 103, when it talks about how God interacts with people, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our lives from the pit, who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that one. And the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Remember, this is David writing in an Old Testament context. Moses was seeing God in an Old Testament context, and yet God was interacting with Moses one-on-one. David had an understanding of this idea of interacting one-on-one. David goes on in Psalm 103 and verse 10 to say, God does not deal with us, with you and I, according to our sins, nor repays us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgression from us. Remember, this is Old Testament context. It was all brought into reality with Jesus Christ. Your sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west. He has brought forgiveness as part of how God wants to interact with us on an everyday basis. And so, in light of the freedom we have in Christ because of the forgiveness of our sins, I want to give you a third thought to think about. See God again in what he then asks of you and I. With Moses, he said, I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to take my nation, my people, and I want you to lead them through this wilderness, take them out from the bondage of Egypt, and I want you to bring them to the Jordan River. That's what God asked of him. Now, what does God ask of you and I? In light of who Jesus Christ is, you have died, Colossians 3, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, what? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we have eternal life? No. He goes on very specifically in Colossians, and as Paul is talking to the church at Colossae, he says, in light of the relationship we have with God, in light of how he interacts with us, here's what he, in essence, asks of us. Put on, then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Okay, there's the first thing. Have kindness, have humility, have meekness, have patience, and again, now dealing with people, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, shoot them. No, forgive each other. Now, the thing I like about this, a little aside, is we're called to love people, but sometimes we don't have to like them. But we do have to ask to forgive them. As the Lord has forgiven you and me, so what? We must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So what, first of all, he's saying overall is now we're all part of a great family. We're not individuals in the wilderness here or there or doing our thing, herding sheep or whatever. No, we're all part of a family. We're all part of one body. And as he said in the Corinthian church, love covers a multitude of sins. And so it's interesting, again, that you build your own character of holiness and compassion and meekness and then forgiveness and then the unity of working together as one body. And then he goes on to say to the church at Colossae, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does that mean? Read the word, study the word. And then teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with what? Thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Why? Because he has a relationship with us. And he's asking us to draw closer to him. And so, where does this work? Whatever we do in word or in deed, what? Now the focus is just not about me and you. It's about we want to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to give thanks to God the Father through him because we have a relationship with the Father. Only something that men like David and Moses could dream about or have incidents where God spoke to them specifically. You and I have the ability to enjoy the presence of our Heavenly Father every day. What a marvelous thing we have. And so in light of what I've shared with you this morning, how do you want to live this week? I mean, where's your focus going to be? I want to tell you a little story about a man by the name of Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. Back in the 1950s, a frail figure would often be seen on the boardwalks of Ocean Park, New Jersey. Though modest and shy, Mr. Chisholm was warmly greeted as he ducked in and out of many shops and cafes. As he walked away, people behind his back would often say, well, there goes the man who wrote, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and Living for Jesus, or the hymn, Oh, to Be Like Thee. Thomas had settled into a Methodist home for the aged in Ocean Park, and was enjoying his sunset years. He was born in 1866 in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky. His education was sparse, and yet at the age of 16, he began teaching at the same one-room schoolhouse that he attended as a child. 4 years later, the local newspaper, the Franklin Advocate, offered him a job. So when Thomas was 27, he became the founder and president of Asbury College. Dr. Morrison came to Franklin to preach, and during that revival, Thomas found out that Jesus was real, and he made him his Savior and Lord. Dr. Morrison then asked him to become the office editor and business manager for the Pentecostal Herald, which was headquartered in Louisville. In 1903, Thomas applied for ordination in the Methodist Church and accepted a pastorate in the church at Scottsville, Kentucky. He labored there for 1 year before his health collapsed and forced him to move to Winona Lake, Indiana, where his family had property, and there he supported himself by selling insurance. He wrote poems for personal therapy, some of which were published and came to the attention of a pastor musician by the name of C. Harold Loudon of New Jersey. And one day in 1915, Mr. Loudon composed a song for the children in his church. He called it a sunshine song, and he used it during a Children's Day service. 2 years later, as he prepared to publish a songbook, he wanted to use his tune, but he felt the words were lacking. And so he contacted Thomas and asked him to compose new words. Thomas returned it to me, Mr. Loudon wrote later, and said he didn't have the slightest idea as to the method used in writing words for music. Immediately, I sent the material back to him, telling him that I believed God had led me to select him. Since Thomas couldn't read music, he asked his daughter to hum the melody over and over until he understood it enough to compose suitable words, and thus was born Living for Jesus. And it was published in 1917. And so as you head into this week and you think of what the Lord is asking of you and how you want to serve him, I want to sing this little song for you. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Father, as we head into this week, I really believe that we need to be reminded of who we are and who has bought us with a precious price. Lord, many Christians crave a burning bush experience when indeed we have a burning bush literally living in our hearts, the reality of a Father, Son, and a Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And so may you, as the great triune God, stir us this week, remind us of who we belong to, remind us of the interaction that you want to have with us, and remind us of what you're asking us to do. And so, Father, as we head into this week, we would live for your Son. We trust the Holy Spirit to comfort us and give us wisdom and discernment. And in all that we do, may we be reminded that we are great ambassadors for a God who knows us better than we know ourselves. And in that, may we have a peace that passes all human understanding. And so, Lord, would you bless us and keep us and make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And would you lift up the light of your countenance upon us and give us your peace indeed. Amen and amen.